Our reading this morning is entitled Words Matter by Carol Thomas Sissel. Diverse, multicultural, inclusive, welcoming. If I made a list of every single Unitarian Universalist congregation I have served, visited, or worshiped at, they would have a few things in common, including the use of these words. Perhaps on the front of the order of service, or scrolling across the home page of their website. Maybe they've been emblazoned on a rainbow-colored banner hanging in the sanctuary. Wherever they are, more often than not, these words are proudly combined with another expression that has been embraced in everyday UU vernacular. All are welcome here. The congregations, churches, and fellowships on my list all have one or more of these words proudly on display. I know why they are used so freely. Initially, I felt embraced by them. There's a warmth of recognition when my eyes first capture their sight. A sense of being acknowledged and valued moves from heart to head, and then a smile settles on my lips. My heart blooms. I feel like the welcome table has been set for me, and I am eager to pull up a chair. All of this takes place in an unmeasurable instant. And in the next moment, it is tempered. I remember past experiences and unconsciously recalculate and measure my response. The petals of my heart close a bit, protecting the delicate stigma and stamen that lay within. Fear of disappointment rises in me like the sun. I love those words. I love what they promise. But I have been repeatedly disappointed. It is simply not enough to print them on an order of service or in a newsletter. They must have meaning and intention at their core. A desire for multicultural worship is wonderful, but it will not flower if that seed of yearning is not nurtured by a commitment and a plan. Longing for diversity of race or gender or age is only a beginning. It calls for caring and creative programming. Our congregations are primarily white, female, and over 60. If we are to serve into the future, that must change. I believe that we can transform first ourselves and then the world. I am injured repeatedly when we do not. When we use these words just for the sake of using them, I am hurt. Without true resolve, planning, and measurable goals behind the things I see, my trust and hope are broken anew. Why does it hurt? Every time I see those words, I feel the possible revival of Unitarian Universalism germinating in the warm soil of spirit. I've seen the transformation begin to take place in Washington State, Washington, D.C., and California. Congregations in Oklahoma continue to push our faith forward. So, yes, I am hopeful. Hopeful, but wary. On too many occasions and in too many places, these words and the ideals which they carry are given lip service. Words matter. They lift us up and hold us. They illuminate the future and shower us with possibilities. When misused, they hurt. Verbal cuts and abrasions sting. Language leaves wounds that scar. Words matter. If your congregation and you are not ready to meet the promises you craft and then share with the world, stop publishing them. Please don't invite me to sit at your table unless you have a warm, satisfying meal to serve. It doesn't have to be a gourmet feast. A potluck is fine. The souffle may have only risen halfway. The cookies may be burned on the edges. The pasta can be overcooked. That's okay. I'm starving. What it must be is fulfilling, real, made with love and ready to be eaten. Remember, I believe what you say and write. Words matter.
I'm here at this microphone today because in 1993, the person who is now my wife, she wasn't then because we couldn't get married back then, but in 1993, Susan and I were both at General Assembly in Charlotte, not too far from here, and something happened in Charlotte that turned my heart, and I'm here to use the words of Rebecca Savage to remind Susan and me and all of you. Were any of you at General Assembly in 1993? So some others were too. We were not there by ourselves. I play this moment over and over again in my head. I heard of the Thomas Jefferson Ball hosted by the Unitarian Universalists in 1993. As a person of color raised in a Unitarian Universalist congregation, I felt a shiver down my spine as I learned something new and unsettling about the faith that I called home. You may be wondering why this gathering of Unitarian Universalists in 1993 struck me as a profoundly memorable and painful moment. Beloveds, this is why attendees are encouraged to wear period clothes to the ball to celebrate Thomas Jefferson. After all, he attended Unitarian churches. In the spirit of welcome, those who conceived of this social gathering did not take into account the centering of whiteness by asking people to attend in period clothes. The organizers forgot, or they ignored the fact, that in Thomas Jefferson's name, we black or brown Unitarian Universalists would have been slaves, property, owned, traded, sold, brutalized, and subjected. The matter was taken up at General Assembly when the delegates challenged the appropriateness of attending such an event. During a plenary session, delegates voiced their concerns by reading a statement of protest. In response, the organizers and other leaders gathered to consider how to proceed and what to do, and they came to a decision. The Thomas Jefferson Ball would go ahead as planned. I asked myself, what should I wear? Would I be a house slave, favored for my light skin and good hair? My skin is a light brown that my daughter refers to as cinnamon, a product of a beautiful multiracial family history. Would I catch the eye of a white man who would leverage any opportunity to take my body as his property? What should I wear? Would I have had shoes on my work-worn feet? Would I have stretch marks across my body from babies that were taken from me to be sold to other plantations? Would I sing to myself faithful, mournful songs of liberation, dreaming for the day when I could taste freedom for myself and for my family? What should I wear? Would I be allowed to come in through the front entrance, or would I be directed to the back, to enter through the kitchen with the other slaves and servants? Would I be allowed to drink from the same punch bowl, served from the same platters? Would I sit with the other people of color in a separate room at the back of the gathering? Would I be permitted to look at a white person in the eye? Or even to speak their names? What would I wear, dear, beloved Unitarian Universalists? Tell me, what would I have worn to attend this ball? What period clothes would represent who I would have been in Thomas Jefferson's time? Ouch. When we feel something deeply and we are still finding words, ouch, seriously, ouch. And in my own words, I will tell you that those of us who could not go to that ball were at the bottom of an escalator saying this is not right. while others went up that escalator and attended the announcement of our president, the new president of our association. And back to Rebecca's words, why do I raise this deeply wounding moment in our shared UU history? Because it isn't just a reflection about my lived experiences as a person of color in a majority white denomination. This is also part of the story of how people of color experience sharing worship and community in our faith. It is a chapter of the story of who we are as a people, living in this country, swimming in the waters of white supremacy, and centering whiteness, supported by centuries of indoctrinations and institutional structures. I grieve for the hurts that this time in our history has caused. I grieve for those who left our community because of how this event was handled, which broke our trust in finding spacious rest in our congregations from the pervasive, violent racism of our country. I grieve for those who at the time were unable to traverse the gaps in their spiritual understanding of the words justice and belonging. I grieve that it has taken this long to have had this level of conversation about what it would be like if we were to center people of color. This bowl was conceived by well-meaning people, beloved kin of mine and of yours, who were able to identify welcome only through the eyes of white privilege. This is the insidious nature of centering whiteness. It denies personhood and the God-given right for all to be fully accounted. To put primacy on whiteness as the default setting and how we see and experience our world means that we are being theologically inconsistent. We covenant to affirm and promote the interdependent web of all existence of which we are all a part, and yet we have valued and devalued the inclusion of so many. In small ways, this trend emerges when music and readings for worship come primarily from Anglo-European composers and whites, and the paintings that hang in our congregations disproportionately represent our white foremothers and our white forefathers. We see this trend when congregational leadership is cultivated without honoring the diversity in our midst as a rich source of inspiration and prophetic messaging. We see this in considering that people of color have been part of our living tradition for centuries, but our voices have been overlooked, silenced, or outright rejected with hostility. I ignite my flame of justice and shine a light on this scar because the healing is not done. The healing is not done because we are still called to do the work of dismantling white supremacy in our culture and decentering whiteness from our homes, from our congregations, from the ways in which we interact and support each other. We are called to fulfill the promises once made in the name of faith and proclaiming beloved community. We are called to match our words with our actions, to bring the holy into our midst by truly and without fear, honoring the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This is a beautiful time of opportunity, beloveds, of truly listening to people of color and beginning to repair the fabric of community that has been torn, ripped asunder by years of broken and empty promises, words of good intention unmatched by purposeful action. I love being a Unitarian Universalist. I was birthed into this world with the calling of service on my heart. I was shaped and molded in our congregations. I also know that, as Dr. Cornell West shared with us in his 2015 Ware Lecture at General Assembly, if I have white supremacy in my heart, because I was raised in this country, then so do we all. While I grieve, I have much reason to claim hope. I celebrate where we are as a people of faith because we are bravely facing the devastation and illness of othering people. We are looking at ourselves in the mirror. We are seeking a new way. I celebrate that we have the moral and the spiritual courage to listen deeply to voices that have been marginalized. I celebrate that beloveds are disclosing to move forward humbly to make space for an evolution in leadership and consciousness. The spark of working towards the greatest good is seen in every moment of insight, as are so many waking up to our participation in our centering whiteness. Beloveds, now is our time to lead with love and to make right the ways our denomination has fallen short of in sharing our principles. We are a powerful, aspirational, covenanted people, and we are being called to account for our historic moral and spiritual failings in order to move into authentic beloved community. Now is our time to harness our ability to reflect inward in order to emerge with a power greater than ourselves that gives rise to a new day. Beloveds, with love and peace in our hearts, may it be so.
This lamentation is for two voices, one white and one person of color, an indigenous person. Both voices invite you to repeat a refrain several times. And the white voices say, "So much has been lost." And the voices of color say,
"Beloved, you must not be defensive when you hear our hurt."
All those words are adapted from Michael Eric Dyson's Tears We Cannot Stop. We need one another. This is the core of our Unitarian Universalist theology. We are the human agents of the holy, the vessels through which redemption, healing, salvation occur. There is only us. There is only us in this short lifetime to create the shimmering, glorious we that might exist. We needed one another before we arrived here this morning. We needed one another before we found our way to this congregation. We have needed one another all along, and we have failed one another. We who are white have failed people of color, and by extension, the shimmering, glorious we that might exist.
One thing you must understand, beloved, is that whiteness isn't a solo act. It has a supporting cast. Lots of other things got created to uphold and justify whiteness. You, beloved, have benefited from them without questioning.
We need one another, but we have not needed one another equally. We contain equal amounts of dignity and worth, but we do not need one another equally. If our need for one another were reciprocal, if our craving for each other's truth and experience were genuine, if we long for others to feel as deep a sense of belonging as our own belonging, that need would have long ago forced us, my white kin of faith, to surrender our grip on our certainty, our preferences, and our standards of comfort.
My dear friends, please try to understand that whiteness is limitless possibility. It is universal and invisible. You swim in its waters and breathe in its air. And take for granted that whiteness is the status quo. That's why many of you are offended by any reference to race. We believe you are acting and thinking neutrally, objectively, without preference for one group or the next, including your own. You see yourselves as colorless. Dump the garbage of race in your heads. You have no idea how absurd and hurtful that notion is. And yet we have grown accustomed to your defiance of our pain, struggle, and daily reality.
In our limitless possibility, consciously and unconsciously, we who are white have inflicted wounds on the spirits and psyches of people of color. So much has been lost. So those who identify as white, repeat with me. So much has been lost.
Beloved, you must not be defensive when you hear our hurt. Any people of color may now repeat. Beloved, you must not be defensive when you hear our hurt.
We confess before the spirit of wholeness and reconciliation that we have needed to be right and needed to be white more than we needed to listen. We have entrenched our white obliviousness in our identity as good people. So much has been lost.
Beloved, you must not be defensive when you hear or hurt.
The gentle mystery in whose heart we're suspended calls us to make room for all people to be their fullest selves, seen, heard, valued, included, empowered. We who are white, we whose hearts are drunk with the wine of our own privilege, have not yet risen to that call. So much has been lost, white people. So much has been lost.
Beloved, you must not be defensive when you hear or hurt.
People of color. We need one another in different ways. May we who are white hear the hurt and resolve to do one better than we did before. We need one another now and moving forward. We need one another now, though for some it is too late. This is the call of our Unitarian Universalist theology. We are the human agents of the holy, the vessels through which redemption, healing, and salvation occur.
Beloved, we need each other. Let us live our calling in the world as the light of reconciliation together.